With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Take a drink.
Welcome to this edition of Road Trippin'. I will take a drink of my poppy. I'm obsessed.
What?
Allie Clifton, Richard Jefferson. Not a vampire Channing Frye. I already asked you guys to do homework. Did you do your homework?
No. No. Mm-mm.
Bullshit.
No.
Horrible students. I'm very upset about this. I'm so disappointed in the both of you.
Teachers have called me far worse.
Allie, the one movie you want us to watch is literally disgusting softcore porn.
How do you know it's disgusting softcore porn if you never even gave it a chance to watch it?
Allie, this is for adults to hear. There are certain things.
Hey, no, let's.
I need a full review.
We know we have other listeners. We have younger listeners. Come on.
Okay, then let me say this, Richard.
Before he goes and gets too graphic.
I'm not getting graphic
because that's disgusting. There are boundaries that I set. There are, like, in your personal life, in the world, there needs to be boundaries. Somebody got to say, no, stop, that's enough. And this movie is a no, stop that, that's enough. You don't need to do that. Keep it simple, stupid. We don't need all the extra. We don't need all that. Why, Allie? We don't need that. What just happened to two people doing this?
Yeah.
Richard, why are you so uncomfortable? It's a movie.
First of all, why are you mad at me?
Because I'm just asking for your review and your
review. First of all, two thumbs down.
You're taking away of our freedom of speech.
No, actually, you're taking away mine right now.
I watched the reviews. You see, I don't have no sleep.
I need to send you some eye patches.
Dude, I got them.
Allie, have you ever seen Two Girls, One Cup?
Yes, I watched it on this episode for you. And it's funny that you made me watch it on this episode, but yet I can't talk about a movie that was nominated for a Golden Globe.
Yes, 100%. Those are the rules.
Two Girls, One Cup is beyond any kind of comprehension. In this movie, I mean, you guys have sent me over and over.
Nothing but appropriate things.
Richard handed us the Bible. Okay. Yes. Channing only watched The Red River Flowing. Okay. You have four women in your house. Thank you. Get used to it, Dad.
Okay.
But the last one, the roommate one, was really good, Channing.
That was really funny.
But I'm very disappointed in the both of you. We'll move on because Richard's very uncomfortable. Knowing that we aren't sending you eye patches because of your excitement to watch Saltburn last night, what happened to you last night? What went on? Why are you so tired?
I've been very busy lately. And a group of guys from my neighborhood were like, hey, let's go to the Dame's coming back to Portland. Let's go to the game. So they had a party bus. That should have told you already what happened. We had a great time. Great time. And then
you guys
went
had
out
a party
afterwards.
Bus for Dame? Wow.
No, we had a party bus because there was like 14 of us to go to the game. By the time we got to the game, people decided, hey, every quarter, let's do shots. And I'm 40, so obviously that catches up. Let me go on my little rant here.
Please.
The Milwaukee Bucks are absolute trash can at defense. It's disgusting. I had a few at the game, and I feel sorry for my neighbor who went with me because I was in his ear like, look at this. Every single time, the Portland Trailblazers, they try. They're young. They try. They don't have a one-on-one player that should be able to get by anybody on the Milwaukee Bucks. All night long, every single straight line drive, and I'm including Giannis, if you watch the film, watch the level of effort on defense was disgusting. I don't want nobody to tell me that the Bucks have a chance to win a championship with that level of defense. They don't care. They don't give a shit. It's gross. And that's my rant. It's gross to watch. Congratulations to the Blazers. There's no way that the Bucks should have lost to the Blazers and lost the way that they did.
The Bucks did lose 119-116. They were 24-8 through December, and they just finished the month of January 8-8.
I have questions.
And I'm also mad because they fired a guy that I know that I don't think it's his fault, but it is what it is.
I have a question.
Yes.
Was it a suite or were you sitting in general population?
No. We definitely were not in general public.
Okay. I was like, I had questions. I was like, bro, good for you, man. You know what? You're a man of the people, bro.
You know what's crazy? My kids are getting into basketball more. So I actually went to a game on Monday against the 76ers. Shout out to Tobias Harris and Matt Brazzi. And my kids and my little god kids had the best time ever. And I'm like, shit, this is like Hendrix. He's one of the only boys, him and his basically his cousin, Davis, were sitting watching this game, talking basketball the whole time.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, oh, my boys.
What did I say? Because that's the only thing. It's like, I would love to take my boys to games. But, like, you can't – it's, like, getting a suite is the whole thing.
We're poor. A suite is, like, $3,000 for 16 people.
Typically they only come to games if I, like, work in L.A. Like, if I work in L.A., they'll come to games. But it's, like, I don't get to, like, go and, like, sit with them at a game. That's the part that kind of sucks. It would just be chaotic. You know,
dude,
it just
wouldn't. My kids are chaotic.
I'm not talking about the kids, bro. I'm not talking about the kids. The kids can be handled, but it's like you take them to like baseball. I get to take them to baseball and stuff because people don't fuck with me in baseball games. No baseball fan knows me.
What if we just have an opportunity to send you to for the Dodgers last year, and you were like, "Hell no!" It's in the middle of a Sunday afternoon because it was hot out.
Yeah, that shit. Like,
they are not going to go to that. And I'm like, it's the Dodgers. What?
I was like, if you're on that wrong side of that sun and you're on that top of that fucking hill, yo, that shit is no joke, man. That shit is no joke. You got to be on that other side. I don't know what it was, but and the sun doesn't hit to the other side till like the eighth inning. So it's like, especially during the summer,
they're going to cough this year. On you.
What?
Absurd.
Crazy. You know what's crazy?
Absurd.
I was talking to my guy, Jed Lowry. He was a retired MLB, 17 years played. He was explaining Ohtani's contract and how smart that contract is.
Genius.
It's unbelievable. He will never get taxed to live. He only gets taxed the minimum amount for his contract of $2 million as a California resident. And California's trying to sue him. they're trying to sue him for that $700. They're trying to get a piece of that.
Well, the other part about it is that when you kind of break that down, he does lose out on some because the money is deferred. So the amount of money that you would get just on your own interest being in, you know what I'm saying, having access. So he's really he's deferring money, but he's also, I wouldn't say losing money, but there is a value to getting your money now and having that money work for you over 10 years, especially that amount of money, because that's millions of dollars.
Hundreds of millions of dollars.
No, okay, I'm talking millions of dollars in like interest and shit.
Oh, yeah. But
I want to get Richard's thoughts on the Bucks, just to get back on track to that. Having said that, take a drink. Channing, really quick before we go on, what was the reception like for Dame? Was it awesome? Did he get two tribute videos?
Three. So they stood up maybe a minute clapping. Everyone had Dame jerseys on. Went back first time out, you know, obviously did a video, and that was more of his playing. And then the one thing that I respect the shit out of for Dame, right? He was so ingrained in a community, which I think a lot of guys sort of do, but he really did. Like, not only courts and appearances, but like when the whole Black Lives Matter thing came, he was marching with people. When it came to different communities, he was always out and about. Like the pickup games during the summer, like everyone was getting a call, like things like that. Like, just he was so ingrained in a community. I think it's rare to find somebody like that. And then this community loves him. And then, you know, who took that kind of personally is Scoot, because Scoot was open. And I think he gets a bad rap. He's 19. And I was doing a little research. The average point guard, starting point guard in the NBA makes $18 million. And Scoot is 19 years old at the third pick. And everyone's like, you know, not everyone. A lot of people are already like, well, is he a bust? And I'm like,
bust?
You're like, guys,
that's the
expectations are.
It's hard to have rational conversations with starting in irrational places.
Dude, it's
like, first of all, do you know how hard it is to even be able to tell? That's part of the issue with kids coming in at 19. Like, you have to decide if you're going to extend them for X amount of dollars when he's 22 years old. He's not even remotely close to developing or being, if he continues to progress and work the right way, he will be twice as good. Like, think about Shea. Think about Shea and how old Shea is. Three years ago, every year Shea has gotten better. But 3 years ago, you had to decide 4 years ago how much his value is. So it was like there are teams that might trade away a guy. Like, let's say an Emmanuel Quickly. They might trade away a player that continues to get better. And that's the hardest shit with the league. It's like you'd get these guys so young. And it's like, oh, it's Scoot a bust. It's like, bro, he barely even has 10,000 hours in. Right, it's like, because he's not old enough.
I was going over the Western Conference guards, right? So every week, let's work our way down. Just California, Steph, De'Aaron Fox, James Harden, D'Angelo Russell, Devin Booker, like I would say Colin Sexton. Then you have Mike Conley Jr. Then you have SGA, Luka. I mean, the Spurs. Okay, you're going to get you one there.
Kyrie.
Yeah, Vassell pretty good.
Vassell's solid, but he's, you know, solid.
No, I'm saying they're on a bad team, but I'm saying I think if he was on a good team, I think he would be putting in work.
Yeah, he's the only guy in the NBA that I did not know that he was making $100 million.
Yeah,
when I did the game, I said, who got what? I said, who?
Yeah, but did you watch him play?
Hey, listen, that's the quietest $100 million anyone has ever gotten. They were like, look, they snuck him that shit. They said, here, take this.
No, the first time I walked by, I'm like, whoa, this dude, like, he might be taller than me. And he got a – he's big dude, and he's got a wet ball, elevates. It's pretty. Like, his game is nice. Yeah.
How – what do you think of the defense, Richard, the Bucks? Do you agree with Channing they're not going to win a championship? With that defense?
No, not currently. Not how they are currently playing. That's
what this is it? What is it?
It's never one thing. I think it's age, it's interest, it's commitment, it's personnel, it's schemes. When you have this, and I'm not saying it's all of those things. I'm saying it's always a combination of things. It's never just we need to fix our schemes because our effort is there, our intent isn't there, we're locked in. Because if you are all of those things, schemes kind of come and go. If you're locked in and focused on it, you'll make up for, if you're making second efforts, if you're doing this, if you're communicating, you can make up for an average to below average scheme. You can make up for that. And so and that's part of the reason maybe why they changed coach, because defense is commitment and communication. Some of it's personnel and ability, which we know they have personnel. They don't have the elite personnel at the top, but they have, like, you know, with Dame Lillard and defensively. But you should have enough to be average. You should be if you told me they were 13th in defense or 14th in defense and they went from a top five defense, but now they have a great late game closer, so they're dangerous, right? That's not the case. And so that's where it's just like, Doc Rivers, I don't, there's a lot of things that I don't envy that position that he just took in. I don't envy that.
You know what? I do because he's getting $40 million.
I'm talking about from a strategic standpoint. From a strategic and cleaning up that mess.
Let me go on my thing. Do you know, and I think I said this on last podcast, and I watched a bunch of like Bucks. I like deep dived a little bit into like the Bucks problems. When the last coach, I forgot his name right now. The beers are kicking in.
Griffin.
Yeah, Griffin, who coached me in Orlando. Good dude, great human. When he asked them at the beginning of the year to play a different style of defense, they sort of committed to that. And then the minute that it didn't work a little bit, they gave up on it. And we're like, we need to go back to what we used to do and what we do. But you don't have Drew Holiday on your team. They don't want to adjust. Has Brooke Lopez, has that offense or defense adjusted to the league whatsoever? Meaning, look at, okay, Philly. When Nick Nurse went in there, Nick Nurse brought in his defensive assignments. He'll throw in a zone. He'll throw in a 2-3, a 1-3-1. He'll throw in a switch. He'll throw in a drop. He'll throw in these things because those guys are committed to those things, right? You look at some of the best teams in the league, they are committed to having defensive versatility, whether they switch every time. No team that's great defensively does one thing all the time. The Bucks are committed mentally to only doing one thing all the time. They want Brooke Lopez to be in a drop of ice at 36 years old when the guards in the league are bigger, stronger, faster, and can shoot better. They're not little guards anymore. And it's just it's outdated. How they think they're going to win is outdated.
Okay, really quickly. They traditionally have had a top 10 defense. I understand. They traditionally have had a top 5 defense. So
with Drew Holiday.
I understand that, but he ain't the only motherfucker on that team playing defense. Totally. Like, let's calm down. Like, there's it is, you don't get it. Like, Drew Holiday wasn't a one man show. It was Brooke Lopez. It was Giannis winning Defensive Player of the Year. It was having other active scramble guys around them. You know, when they won the championship, they had PJ Tucker, right? So it was like they had their defensive team. You know, and Drew Holiday was a key piece of that. Now, taking away that key piece shouldn't crumble your entire defense. He wasn't Giannis, right? Like Brooke Lopez was close to getting Defensive Player of the Year, finished, I think, top 2 or 3 in voting. So I say that to say is that it's not just personnel. There's a level of commitment. There's a level of something else going on. In my opinion, and I'm not saying it's because they hate the coach or anything. No, I'm just saying they have to recommit themselves to effort. You were talking about blow-bys. That's not schemes. That's not drop coverage. That's not this. It's just watching guys not as locked in as they should on that end of the floor.
Steph Curry makes you believe you can do anything, and the Curry 11s are specifically designed with ultimate bounce, grip, and stability to allow everyone to do their thing. New generations of ball players are coming up and showing the basketball world that the old rules do not apply. The future is exciting, fast, positive, and hungry. This NBA season, rock with your favorite player and rep his shoes on and off the court. The Curry 11s are perfect for both the committed and casual ballers. The UA Warp Tech makes the shoe feel like it was designed for your feet, locked in no matter what you do on the court. Stop in your tracks with dual density UA flow cushioning and traction. It's an emergency break you don't even notice. Steph's 11th signature shoe steps into the second decade of his sneaker career, pulling colorway inspiration from the wonders of a positive and modernized future on and off the court. Take these kicks with you when you leave the scrimmage and rep Under Armour wherever you go. So do your thing. Change the game. The Curry 11 Future Curry is available now at currybrand.com.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go from east to west. There is a game tonight, so let's not talk too much about it, which we probably don't even need to because of what I'm about to say. Lakers-Celtics. But when it comes to defense, a team that has wanted to hang their hat on the defensive end showed last year, a season ago. I understand it's in the past. They're capable with a lot of the guys returning. Last 5 for the Lakers, they have allowed 135.2 points a game. Most in the NBA since January 23rd. They come into tonight. They're 7-17 on the road this season, which is 23rd in the NBA. And they're facing the Celtics. I'm going to say this. It was just announced that there will be no LeBron James, no Anthony Davis. They will now have missed a combined 10 games.
Okay.
We're almost at the 50-game mark. AD's dealing with the hip, Bron with the ankle injury. But before we dive into the actual thoughts on the Lakers as we're approaching the trade deadline, you two played alongside LeBron. You two have been a part of the cryptic tweets over the years. One, did you guys know that there are two hourglass emojis?
No.
There is one sand half full and there's one sand half empty.
Oh, I didn't know. That.
LeBron tweeted the other day an hourglass.
Which one?
You guys the half empty. The one where the sand is at the bottom.
Maybe he's waiting for his favorite show to come out. Maybe he's got a big thing. Maybe he's got a big. Maybe
drinking the wine, man. He'll
help us because he did tweet it at 2:27 in the morning.
Yeah, but it's
after their
loss.
He's on the East Coast. You know, he's jet lagged.
It's after the game in Atlanta, back to back.
Yeah. Have you seen the new Halo trailer? Maybe he was like teasing that. Like, oh, it's coming soon. Yeah.
Wait, seriously? Season two?
Yeah, season two. How about this? I hopped on season one late.
Same here. It's great.
Yeah, it's solid. It's
Lakers fans, you have nothing to worry about.
Yeah. Look, Laker fans, at the end of the day, it's almost over.
Y'all suck.
No, yeah. Don't worry. It's almost over, Laker fans. Not from a standpoint, but I'm like this era, this generation, they've got one, two more years left. Right, it's like, you know, maybe that's what the hourglass was. They don't have the windows. Certain teams, like, you know, the Lakers, and, you know, when you Golden State Warriors, you know, the Patriots, like when you're in these like epic windows, you always feel like it's never going to end, right? Well, this window for them is closing, right? And some people might say it's closed.
Yeah.
I think it's closing. Yeah. I think if you've got those two guys, you have a chance. You just have to find the right pieces to go around them. So maybe that's what he was tweeting.
And Richard, you know what? I'm going to take a page from your book.
Oh, tell us about his book.
His book is this. If LeBron leaves or AD leaves, how much are those Laker tickets? I don't really think there's two or three players you can go get with the personnel that you have to be contenders. Y'all are not good. There's no pieces. Who are you getting for D'Angelo Russell right now? Who are you getting for Torian Prince or any of these guys that you're going to go, if we get this guy or that guy, oh, here we go, Denver. I just don't believe that. It's not like that. The way that the league is right now, every team, if you look at the Western Conference, every team is very nice. I think every team is set up, except for San Antonio, for like extended success. I think Utah set up for extended success. Houston, Phoenix, Sacramento, like whether they're going to be fifth or sixth, that's still extended success. They're going to have a chance. I don't know if the Lakers are set up for extended success. Your best player is 40 years old. How does that make sense?
No disrespect, you have no young Davis. He's 30 and he's been phenomenal.
He's been outstanding. Anthony Davis has been outstanding this year.
Yes.
And LeBron is still the name, but Anthony Davis has been
tell me, you're saying this now, but look at your record. So
yeah, that's what I'm about to say. That's the biggest scary part is really quickly, Alec.
I'm saying you have
your two best players that have been healthy primarily, only missed combined 10 games. Anthony Davis looks like he's been playing great. Defensive end, being aggressive, being the kind of the head of the snake, and LeBron doing, you know, playing great, right? You know, again, we talk about his age, but at the end of the day, he's a 25-point game scorer. Those fuckers don't grow on trees. So if you're doing that in an efficient manner, you're like, okay, your two top guys are here, and you guys are a 500 team. Like, so that's the biggest issue for the Lakers. It's not, you know, other years, the excuse was our guys weren't healthy. We couldn't get them on the field. We didn't have that. Well, you have them and you're not winning. And that's the scary part for the Lakers.
Yeah. 24 and 25. Bron mentioned the other night that on any given night, they can go out and kick anyone's ass. Any given night, they could be beat by any team. The record is what they are right now. It'll be interesting though, come the deadline, to see if they do anything.
Please do something.
Back to the East.
Yeah.
After tonight, the Lakers actually do play the Knicks. good news on Julius Randle, that it came back, dislocated shoulder, just 2 to 3 weeks will be reevaluated.
Okay, so I dislocated my shoulder and had shoulder surgery. He's going to be in that, like a shoulder sleeve that's attached. He's going to have issues in the playoffs. Because anytime, as physical as he is, anytime that he goes up like this and somebody comes down, you have to imagine when you dislocate your shoulder, those muscles around your this ball
are not as strong.
No. And there's not, like, you have to do, I had to do 30 to 40 minutes of just shoulder work to, on my shooting arm, like, even to this day, like that's as far as up as mine goes, unless I do that on purpose. So he's going to have surgery in the offseason. Now, mentally, can he get over that? And number two, what I'm going to say is probably not the – I don't think the Knicks, if he's not as aggressive, I don't think they're going to worry about it. I think the biggest issue is getting Mitchell Robinson back. I think if they get Mitchell Robinson back and he's somewhat decent for the playoffs, they make some noise. Mitchell Robinson, OG, Jalen Brunson, we can do something with that. I think they have a puncher's chance. Like Atlanta 4 years ago, Atlanta 4 years ago made the Eastern Conference Finals. They had a puncher's chance. They were ready to win. They were healthy. They had good chemistry. I think they have a puncher's chance like Cleveland.
Ooh. I want to go to Cleveland in a second, but we're going to do something else before. But Rich, your thoughts.
Okay. What are we going to do? My thoughts on what?
What he just said. Are you good?
No,
having a puncher's chance.
I like.
Just swing that motherfucker, boop.
The Knicks. All kidding aside, the Knicks look great. The Knicks look great. You know, and this is part of. These are the moments that make your team better in the long run. Well, like they were healthy, they made a trade, everything's clicking. You got to deal through some adversity, and I mean that because you're going to face adversity in the postseason. You're going to face being down one. You're going to face someone tweaking an ankle. Can you, like, whether it's via experience that we've done it before, or is it that other guys know how to step up, or, you know. So I think these moments, as when you have a guy down for a little bit, these things can be valuable from a place of connectivity, getting your team together. So when he comes back, I think they're one of the best teams. They're one of the best teams in the conference. Do I think that they could win a championship? No, I think they're one more. I think right now they're one more very good piece away. Like,
piece, Richard? What position?
I'm saying, think about it. Like, do you remember the Detroit Pistons when they won in 04? Like, yeah, they had Chauncey, they had Rip. In
college.
You don't remember? Do you remember when they won the championship in 04?
No, I was in college. I was worried about myself.
You didn't know.
You didn't take me on a Vegas trip in 04, Richard.
Do you remember when they won the championship in 04?
No, you didn't take me.
Your job is literally to fucking know basketball. Do you remember when they won the championship in 04?
No, you didn't take me to Vegas in 04, Richard. I was worried about – I was being present in college and the University of Arizona.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Turner obviously hires only the finest. The finest.
Yo, Turner had that lineup going so smooth, though, Channing, the other day. Holy, what?
Yeah. Hey. Richard, come on over. Oh, Big Perk. Hey, is your name under Grubhub?
What's up, Big Perk?
You got what I was coming at you with that, though?
Yeah. We recording.
Perk.
Say hi to Allie and Channing.
Oh, tell him I said, what's up? What's up, Allie? What's up, Channing?
Channing. Damn, are you in New York?
No, he's in downtown LA. He in down, same thing. He in downtown LA. All right, I'm going to call you after.
Perky lurky.
All right.
Perk. All right, here we are. We've reached that point. Give us your top players from last week, guys. They are your Under Armour game changers of the week. Which players or coaches impressed you the most?
I got to look because there's two. I just want to make sure. Guys,
just like your homework on Saltburn, we do this every week. You know,
I know, but let me just hold on now.
I know. I like the pop quiz version. I like the pop quiz.
It's not a pop quiz when you know it's coming.
Yeah, it is. You know you're going to get a pop quiz. Not. But you don't know if the pop quiz is coming on Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday. You don't know.
You've known since.
Honestly, I have to say this. And here's the truth. I think it's JB Bickerstaff for me.
Oh, great segue.
What?
Great segue.
Oh, he's 9-1 in their last 10. They have been playing great. JB is just like adjusted. A lot of people are like, well, JB, your offense is this or you're this or that. But he's just adjusting on the fly. And you see what happens. Sometimes less is more. And we'll talk about this in a second. Maybe Donovan Mitchell needs to be the guy. And we'll see what happens in the playoffs. Maybe you ride with that. I know everyone's like, oh, trade him. He's not doing this. Maybe this is that time for you to commit to him and say, hey, we're going to ride with you. You're a rare, you're one of those guys that we need to keep around forever.
JB, and I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that, Richard, you're going to pick someone from the Phoenix Suns.
Wait, what'd you say? My dog was barking.
I said I'm going to go out on a limb and say he's going to pick someone from the Phoenix
Suns. Yeah, look, I'm going to say Devin Booker.
Oh,
I want to say Devin Booker.
Why?
Because in his last like 5-6 home games, he's averaged like 35. Our road games, excuse me. In his last like 5 road games, he's averaged like 35 points a game. Dude's almost averaged 40 points a game on the road in the month. And it was just like the Phoenix Suns. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I believe in that. No, look. When they have Grayson Allen and they have Eric Gordon, when they like they're missing one or two other like versatile pieces that if they can get, and I think they have an opportunity to get them in the trade deadline, they are
a big man.
Damian Lee, what?
Okay,
we'll go there in a second. Road Trippin's Game Changers of the Week are sponsored by Under Armour. Do your thing, change the game. The Curry 11 Future Curries are available now at currybrand.com. Continue.
Think about the Suns, and I'm just going to throw out a name. Think about the Suns had like PJ Washington. Right? That now I go, oh shit. Like, think about the Suns had like Daniel Gafford, right? Somebody, I just think you cannot win real games without a big man. And, you know, Nurk is Nurk, but I also think they need a rim roller to collapse the defense with all the shooters that they have. Nurk is not a rim roller. He's done great this year, he's done solid in his role. But I would like – I personally, as a GM, Channing, say I need this on my team. I need three things on my team. I need an emotional leader. I need somebody that's uber talented. And I need a big man that is versatile. Those three things. After that, give me some shooters. Give me some players. Give me somebody that's on a contract year, and I'm good to go.
Jeez, bro. Yeah, thank you. Channing just put together a whole roster. Yeah, if it was that
easy. All love that.
Yeah, we wouldn't they all love that shit? Like, fuck.
Right. Do you feel like you guys had that in 2016?
No, we just had a bunch of psychotic idiots. We had a band of gypsies that was put together that just went. Yeah, I was like,
Was it Kyrie's? No.
Kyrie got an extension. But Kyrie's extension was going to be Kyrie's extension, whether we won the championship or not. Kyrie's going to get that. He's going to get that bag regardless.
I think in 2016, the thing that I always look back of like why it worked was because it was egoless. Like when Kyrie wanted to go on a run, we're like, all right, we got to make this work. And when Bron wanted to go on a run, we got to make this work. And everyone just made it work.
Channing's view of this thing is very different than I think other people's view of this. Egoless. The fat Allie's face. You know how like when a puppy hears something.
I was only there 3 months, guys.
When a puppy hears something and they're like, oh my God, Allie heard that.
You really think that team was egoless?
Tristan, JR, Amon Shumpert.
You had the biggest, most beautiful, brightest egos on
that.
But it wasn't above us winning when it really counted. That's what I mean. Oh. Like regular season, oh, for sure. Somebody gonna fuck the game up for some points. But like during the playoffs, there was no all that went out the window in the playoffs.
I will say that. There was zero ego during the playoffs.
But I only was with you guys Allie, 25 games.
Can we? Yeah, so you didn't get to see all the shit.
No, I didn't see any of it.
All the shit, bro. You actually helped it. You actually helped it. You're like, this. Why is everyone in a bad mood?
I was like, y'all winning. I came for the worst fucking team in the league. Preston, 3 hours with Scott Skiles.
Yeah, we're going to dinners every night. This is awesome. And everybody's like, okay, I guess it. No, but I would say, to Channing's point, so if he remembers the playoff run specifically as, you know, he kind of felt comfortable, was in a rhythm, there was zero ego during the playoffs. Oh. Zero. And that's why we went from, like, I wouldn't say fucking around, but, like, we were kind of like Denver right now, where it's, like, a little on and off, some, you know, a little bit of highs and lows, level of consistency. They're going to be a 50-win team. Joker's, you know, going to be MVP candidate, like, whatever. Like, but once we got to the postseason, shit, that, like, to go, like, that was our longest winning streak was in the postseason.
Let me ask you guys this, because it just kind of brought my attention. Alex Caruso was asked if he thought about, had he still been in LA, like, what that could have looked like. Mm-hmm. And I know it's not normal for you guys to do that because you're not wired that way, right? And how much that could just kind of, do you guys wonder, though, or ever think that y'all got broke up too soon?
No. They just, the Warriors added too much. They added too much. If the Warriors wouldn't have, if Kevin Durant wouldn't have gone.
But also Kyrie left.
No, but I'm saying, though, we probably would have gone back to back. We probably would have gone back to back. Nobody was going to beat us that next year, right? Like, we were even better in 17 than we were in 16, but they were way better. And you make a 73 win team way better.
So that kind of just, problem. Yeah.
Yeah,
when you watch film on a team and everyone goes, what do we do with this, coach? Who are you double teaming?
You're lying.
But who the fuck are you double teaming?
But think about how many teams weren't even trying to spend money because they knew that they weren't going to compete. Houston was like one of the only teams that was like, we're going to go all in and try and, you know, but every other team was like, we're just going to wait until this run is over for the Warriors. Right? Because there was no parity. The Warriors and Cavs met 4 straight years. Like,
that's crazy.
That's just fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Like, I know we gloss over that now. We were all a part of it. But 4 straight years, the same teams meeting in the NBA Finals. Like, that's fucking crazy. I don't think. Like, when was the last time that happened? Lakers, Celtics, maybe? But 4 straight years? I know Magic and Larry and those guys.
Did that even happen then? I don't think so.
I think maybe when there was like 6 teams in the NBA, like eight teams in the NBA, maybe something like that. But yeah, 4 straight times in modern day.
Now that I'm older, I've realized why I got traded. And they were like, yeah, Channing, we love him, but he can't play in the NBA Finals because all they do is play guards. And so we got to get somebody we can. That's why I got Larry Nance and Jordan Clarkson. And I was like, at the time, I didn't get it because I was like, oh, guys, you don't love me? But now I'm like, yeah, I would have got rid of
him. Channing gave his goodbye in his closet.
Yeah, I was packing my shit up. I was crying.
Hey,
I knew when I was played. I think I played like 34 minutes that game, and I was over. Your boy was gassed. And I said, hold up. What? I said, wait. Why am I getting all these? I told Lauren when I got home, I said, yeah, that's it. That's it for us. We gone.
In Cleveland or Orlando?
In Cleveland. Because in Orlando, I had asked for a treat. Yeah. Hey, listen. In Cleveland,
they was hoping maybe Channing put up 17, then we could shut him down.
Yeah. I knew something was wrong with Channing when he asked to go out 5 nights in a row with me on the road. And it was because he didn't want to talk to any of the team. He was so mad at them. I heard he was in the Matrix and he just needed someone to watch over him.
I forgot being in the Matrix.
Yeah. Oh, dude, being in the Matrix was horrible because I had a conversation. They were like, hey, your name is coming up in trades. And I was like, hey, as a man-to-man, my wife is 9 months pregnant. Can you just tell me if I'm going to get traded or if it's getting close? Just give me a heads up so that I can plan my life out, right, with Lennox. And they were like, yeah, sure, no problem. Day before trade deadline, Channing, okay, it's kind of cooled off, no big deal. I go play that Minnesota game. I said, ooh, I'm playing a lot of minutes. I said, where's everyone else? I said, uh-oh. Then I got that call, 11:58. Channing, you're going to the Lakers with Rob Pelinka. I was like, okay, well, shit, cool. Like, they're sort of maybe in the playoff race. And I told the wife, yeah, sit. Sit for us. And I found out I had a broken appendix. And that fucked my whole season, so.
Oh, yeah, that did.
Yeah.
Is it broken? Is it called a broken appendix?
Bursted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was playing with that. I was playing with a swollen appendix for 6 weeks. I don't even take Advil. I couldn't cough. That was how bad it was. It was bad. I didn't tell anybody. Uh-huh.
And did the UCLA send that doctor to you, was Richard?
Like, huh?
What did you say?
Did he not send that picture to you?
Of what?
Of my appendix? It was his.
Will just randomly send his appendix.
Are you sending appendix pics?
There's people that send dick pics, and then there's ones that send appendix.
Dude, Richard, your appendix is supposed to be like my fingernail. It was as big as my pinky. Look like a little turd, like a little Taco Bell turd.
Okay, right before the trade deadline, who would you like to see make a move that could actually make a difference? Before we wrap this up.
Where do I start? Fucking Chicago. I honestly think blow it up in New Orleans. I'm over it.
That can make a difference this year.
What do you say?
New Orleans, Chicago. I think Sacramento needs to make a move. Why not? Like, they are very stale this year. They're exactly what they were last year and the year before. I think Charlotte needs a revamp.
Well, Channing, you can't just say the whole fucking league, bro.
I'm not saying the whole league. I only named four teams. Oh, Atlanta, for sure. Atlanta, New Orleans. Charlotte, and Chicago.
Okay, those really quick. If we're going to have a respectable conversation of not Charlotte and Chicago, then neither of us make a move. If there was a team that could make a move, I would say the OKC Thunder. I think that they are a big and one more shooter away from, like, and again, they have the young chemistry, but you're about to have a two-time first-team All-NBA-er. Get them the help. Windows can close quickly for championship teams. I'm not saying, but OKC has proven that they can win games. Maybe they are the young Thunder from the KD and the James Harden, because Jalen Williams is looking like a young James Harden. He looks special. What I'm saying, like, understand James Harden was Sixth Man of the Year. I'm saying he looks like he's averaging, what, 19 points a game? That's what I'm saying. He's averaging 19 points a game. He's a young player. They didn't know he was going to be this good. Chet Holmgren looks like he's going to be special, right? Like, they have all of these guys. Maybe if you get them the Kendrick Perkins, Serge Ibaka, maybe if you get them guys that, because that's what those boys had. So it was like you get them that, you know, some toughness. You get them a big. Maybe those boys can actually make a run to the finals. Maybe, I think they're young enough. They got enough skill. They got clutch guys. And they're proven right now, them in Minnesota. And Minnesota has bigs. And you have all the assets. Don't give me the, oh, well, I want our guys to play together one more year. And, oh, they're ahead of the timetable. You don't get to pick the timetable. Your players pick the timetable, right? Their work ethic, how much they win, how much they put in it, they dictate your timetable, right? If they were just like if they were the fifth seed, which would still be impressive, you would be like, okay, I want to give them a little bit more time. But since they're like hovering around the one or two, see, push some chips in that motherfucking pot. See if you can get to a conference final. See if you can possibly get to an NBA finals early. That's real experience.
Maybe.
I'm actually not mad at that, because there was a time where I thought the experience would be the reason why they didn't.
Yeah, get them a big. And you don't have to make a big splash. They don't need, they just need, like, respectfully, Hartenstein, not that the Knicks would ever give him up, but I'm saying a big of that caliber. Energy guy, plays all the right way, can, you know, finish, do a little something. Like, get him that type, but get him somebody that can guard a Jokic. Get him somebody that can guard an Anthony Davis, right? Get him somebody that, and that's not just small ball. Like, even if it's just 18, 20 minutes a night, that would be, if you gave them that, or they got that, they could, in my opinion, they could possibly run away with the West.
Ooh.
Wow.
Like when I say run away, not in the playoffs, I say run away in the regular season. Like
anyone can run away in the regular season.
Yeah, yeah, but I think right now they're hovering at 1-2 and going back and forth with Minnesota. And yeah. I think Minnesota has a more complete roster. They've got Mike Conley, that's a vet. They got Rudy Gobert. They got, you know, Naz Reid. They have a more complete roster than OKC does. So if you're OKC, complete your roster.
Yeah.
Totally.
All right. Channing, are you drinking a beer?
What? No. Yes.
We're going to wrap this up. I got to go host a show for the Lakers and Celtics.
I got to go do something serious now.